Usher Foundation, Usher Foundation, a tried soul, a precious cornerstone, he that believeth shall not make haste.
This is the Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast with Dr. K. Daniel Freed, coming to you from Powder Springs, Georgia, USA, reaching the nation of Israel, God's chosen people, the Jews, with the good news of their Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach, the Lord Jesus Christ. Speaking out against anti-Semitism while promoting love for Israel, God's ancient people, the apple of his eye. Believing in what the Holy Scriptures say in Genesis chapter 12, verse 3, I will bless them that bless thee. Preaching from God's holy word, the King James Bible. The prophetic truths of the second coming of our Lord. Blowing the trumpet in Zion and warning God's people and the nations about the judgment to come. Exposing apostasy and the developing one world antichrist system. Stay tuned for this hour with the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast. This is News and Analysis with Dr. K. Daniel Freed. Filthy rich. Egypt's Al Haram newspaper published a report showing that Arabs in the Persian Gulf have holdings worth approximately $1.4 trillion in American and European banks. Only 2,000 people own the entire sum, according to the newspaper. This wealth has been accumulating over a period of 30 years and has yielded enormous profits to the banks themselves. One possible explanation for this concentrated wealth is that the richest companies in the Gulf are mostly family businesses. The article said, family businesses comprise 95% of registered companies in the Middle East. Chris Lum. The September 11th terror attacks in America not only brought about the war in Afghanistan, but also a craving for dialogue with Islam. Since then, scores of churches have sought contact with Muslims as if dependent on their goodwill. Suddenly, interreligious dialogue is in and even perceived by some as a universal remedy. Churches invite Muslims to preach in their pulpits, rationalizing that, quote, we all pray to the same God. And let me tell you something, we don't all pray to the same God. How did this Almagation come about? Perhaps some churches no longer have the strength to withstand the spiritual conflict with Islam. Islamic scholar Bassam Tabi says that Muslims endorse the rules of their host countries only when preaching from the podium. In reality, he says, Islam constrains them to curse both Christians and Jews. To say otherwise is not the reality of Islam. Not long ago, arch-terrorist Osama bin Laden proclaimed on videotape aired worldwide, when, quote, when people see a strong host on a weak horse, they will naturally love the strong horse. Sadly enough, today's cultural Christians see Islam as a strong horse, though not seeking to convert to Islam. They willingly become supporters of Chrislam. Such Christians are enthusiastic about dialogue drawing on the positive aspects of historical Islamic-Christian relations. For instance, the prosperous Spanish Islamic culture of the Middle Ages. This, however, results in a distorted picture of Islam and a Muslim dealings with other religions. By contrast, Muslims are often far more critical of the historical relations between the two religions. Christians listen shamefaced as the Muslim speaker condemns the Crusades of 800 years ago. Of course, he doesn't point out that many Muslim countries apply the death penalty in mixed marriages, or that women suspected of adultery are publicly stoned to death, or that anyone who becomes a Christian faces a death penalty. Let me just add something, that the fact is that the Crusades of the 800 years ago were not done by those who were truly Christians, by the way. That was in the false apostate church who carried out that garbage. Anyway, it says here that Amnesty International assessments that human rights are brutally violated in almost all Islamic countries falls on deaf ears among the advocates of Islam. Persecuted Christians in Islamic countries feel especially betrayed. Church leaders' passive submissiveness encourages Muslims to vent their hatred on Christians. In Nigeria, where Christians make up 49% of the population and Muslims only 45%, the latter impose Islamic Sharia Muslim law on the Christians. These laws include such barbarities as cutting off the hand of a thief and selling his children as slaves. Muslims often imitate Christians systematically, intimidate rather Christians systematically, until they're killed or converted to Islam. Yet the churches continue to preach tolerance in exchange for intolerance. Many cultural Christians are reluctant to share their faith with a Muslim because they see it as a violation of another religion. Yet they ignore the public and provocative manner in which the Muslims promote their faith throughout the Western world. When Muslim Ayman Morad was asked during a group discussion in Vienna what he felt when he saw the World Trade Center collapsing, he said it gave him a certain satisfaction. Only when he learned there was a mosque in the buildings was he grieved. Huh. Now, that's wicked as hell, isn't it? That he would not grieve over 3,000 people. Innocent lives were taken. All perpetrated and motivated by Islam. Over the past decade, two mosques in Western countries have mushroomed, in some countries doubling their earlier numbers. A church leader in Europe noted the irony. If I were so much as hold a church service in Saudi Arabia, I would risk being put in prison, he said. Mosques are not only houses of worship like synagogues and churches, they often serve as training centers for armed struggle and terror against non-Muslims. Resorting to coercion to build a mosque is not an unusual tactic. In Nazareth, Muslims are occupying city-owned school grounds to build a mosque directly in front of the church. The location and size of the mosque are intended to reflect Muslim dominance over Christianity. Certainly, we are called to love our Muslim neighbors, but we must not be caught in the Islamic trap that blurs the truths of Christianity and creates a counterfeit, a hybrid called Chrislam. This article in Israel Today. Now, this is incredible that so many who use Christianity and name the name of Jesus could ever tolerate not only a false religion called Islam, but a religion that's not only anti-God, it's anti-Israel, it's anti-Jew, it's anti-true Christian. Bible-believing Christians are the supreme target because we believe the Bible. And anybody who believes the Bible is a target. And it's true. You cannot worship with the freedoms we have today in America. You cannot worship like this in these strong Islamic countries. New fingerprint technology. One of the suspected killers of Israeli tourism minister Rephaim Tzvi was identified by a new fingerprinting method developed by researchers from the Kasserli Institute for Applied Chemistry at Jerusalem's Hebrew University, led by Professor Yossi Almung. The research was conducted in cooperation with the Department of Identification for Scenic Science of the Israeli Police, the University of Pennsylvania and U.S. Secret Service Laboratories. The method uses an agent known as 1.2 in dandelion, especially effective in revealing fingerprints under certain lightning and on certain kinds of paper. One of Zivi's killers had left a fingerprint on a newspaper found at the scene of the crime. It was discovered in match with police records. How about that? Well, there's no question that Israel has jumped leaps and bounds in technology. Part of the blessing of God, of course. It is true. Is it true? The cause of Palestinian terrorism is the Israeli occupation. Throughout the 17-month-old Intifada, Palestinian spokesmen have repeated the above mantra, saying that Israel's occupation is the root of all evil. Western media, violating the highest standards of journalism, parrots this canard. For instance, the wire services often refer to the Intifada as the uprising against Israeli occupation. That, of course, is utter editorializing because occupation is a loaded word. It suggests that a foreign power is illegally occupying the land of its rightful owner. But who has designated the Palestinians the rightful owner of Judea, Samaria, and Gaza? The truth is, no one. The frequently quoted UN resolutions 242 and 338 do call on Israel to withdraw from territory captured in 1967, but they do not say all territory, and nowhere do they designate this land as Palestinian. Gaza was captured from Egypt, and Judea and Samaria were under the control of Jordan. The Palestinians, in fact, have never had any sovereignty in the land of Israel. These are not occupied territories. They are disputed territories, which means that both sides have claims to the same land. But just what occupation are the Palestinians talking about? Under the Oslo Accords, Israel withdrew from all Palestinian cities, putting some 90% of the Arab population under direct control of the Palestinian Authority. Those areas are not under Israeli occupation. In exchange for ending the occupation, the Palestinians had one commitment, to renounce terrorism. But instead, they turned the unoccupied areas into safe havens for terrorists from where they could plan and launch attacks against Israel. In fact, Israel offered to end the occupation altogether and hand the Palestinians a state in 95% of Judea and Samaria, all of Gaza and part of Jerusalem. The Palestinian response was to walk away from the negotiating table and launch a war of terror on Israel. And now they complain about occupation? Yes, Israel has sealed off the Palestinian terrorist cities, meaning that Arabs wishing to travel outside will inevitably encounter Israeli troops. That's what they call the occupation. But the occupation does not cause terror. It's the other way around. And what they call occupation is, in fact, an act of self-defense that any nation would take to protect its borders and citizens. This reported in Israel Today. Israelis find black gold in Texas. The American branch of Alon Israel Oil, Israel's largest oil company, has joined with Wright Asphalt Products, an American firm, to set up an asphalt factory in Texas. Factory construction in the town of Big Spring, where Alon also operates a refinery, should be complete in 3 months. The plant will use recycled tires to manufacture nearly 500,000 tons of asphalt per year with a sales value of $20 million. The recycled asphalt will be used to surface roads in Texas and New Mexico. Alon plans to bring the technology to Israel after it's tested in the states. Tourism blues. The number of tourists visiting Israel in 2001 dropped by 51%. From the year before, according to the Central Bureau of Statistics, a total of 1,195,600 tourists visited the country in 2001, down from 2,416,900 in 2000. It was the lowest number of visitors since the Gulf War in 1991, when Iraq fired 39 Scud missiles at Israel. The main cause was the Palestinian Intifada, which left the country scarred by terror. A U.S. travel advisory that urges Americans not to travel to Israel has been in effect since late 2000. The situation was exacerbated by the September 11th terrorist attacks on the United States, which affected air travel and tourism worldwide. For the record, I want to read a news release that was of some time ago in the Israeli newspaper Haaretz regarding Ahmad Faluji, who oversees communication matters in the PA. Whether he does now or not, I do not know. But basically, the Intifada was planned after Camp David talks had failed. You see, they're always accusing Israel for inciting the Intifada, especially when Ariel Sharon had visited the Temple Mount area. They used that as a springboard to begin the Intifada. But you see, they had planned this all along. And so this is even verified by this fella who oversaw the communication matters for the Palestinian Authority. Now, he says, revealed that the 5-month-old Intifada, which now is in the 18th month and may be even farther by the time you hear this broadcast, or may be over. But at any rate, I want to just make the point that this was planned in detail immediately after the failure of the Camp David talks. Israeli radio reported participating in a PLO rally in Sidon in southern Lebanon. Faluji said, "Those who think the Intifada was a spontaneous response to the visit of Prime Minister-elect Ariel Sharon to the Al-Aqsa Mosque are mistaken. The Intifada was planned at the moment Arafat returned from Camp David, where he rejected proposals of President Bill Clinton," he said. Faluji did not say who were among those who planned the Intifada. He came to Lebanon to participate in a communications conference and used the opportunity to visit a Palestinian refugee camp south of Sidon. Faluji said the PLO is renewing all its military activities in order to overcome its battle with Israel. The PLO is returning to the 1960s and 70s, he said. Now, you know, let me just tell you something. Anybody that has the nerve or the gall or the conceit to think that they're going to rise up against Israel is out of their minds. Now, we know, according to the Bible, that during the tribulation period, that there will be, at the end, a big, big war called Armageddon. And let me just read to you what God's going to do to these nations that have risen up against Israel. The Bible tells us in Revelation chapter 19, "His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." Of course, this is referring to Jesus Christ. This will prove to all those nations who really God is. "And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, Come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God, that ye may eat the flesh of kings, and the flesh of captains, and the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses, and of them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth, and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet, and that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone, and the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. Yes, indeed. The Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah of Israel, when he comes back the second time, will come back, and he will judge the nations with the winepress of the fierce wrath of Almighty God. You have been listening to the Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast coming to you from Powder Springs, Georgia, USA. Now we invite you to continue to stay with us for another 30 minutes of good broadcasting regarding the Jews and the issues pertaining to the nation of Israel and what the Bible has to say about it. If you're interested in this, we know you'll not be disappointed. If you have a love for the Jewish people, or if you even have questions about their existence, oh my, you need to stay tuned and find out what the Bible says about it. But if you must leave, we sure like you to come back next time. But until then, would you please write us and let us know that you've enjoyed this broadcast, or if you have any questions at all, we'll do our very best to answer you. Now, please write us at the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia, 30127, USA. Once again, that's the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, PowderSprings, Georgia, or GA, 30127 USA. If you're interested in helping keep this program on the air, please send any gifts to this address, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia, 30127 USA. We're also accepting King James Bibles in good condition. This helps us to distribute these Bibles throughout the world. There are thousands, tens of thousands of people that are begging us for Bibles throughout the world. And we do our best to send them Bibles, but they're very expensive. So if you would do what you can to help us keep our supply going, we would be very thankful to you. Now, please continue to stay tuned now to the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast. Invite your family, your friends, your business associates, anybody that has an interest in the Jewish question as to whether they should exist or not. Now, the Bible has a lot to answer to that, but if you have a love for the Jew, you know what the answer is already. Yes, indeed. They are God's chosen people, the apple of his eye.
Showeth mercy unto thy servants that walk before thee with all of their heart. God of Israel. There is no God like thee in the heaven. There is no God like thee in the earth. O Lord God of Israel.
This is Dr. K. Daniel Fried. I'm so glad that you're staying with us for the last half of this broadcast, and we have a special guest preacher, Brother John Gray out of Bethlehem, North Carolina, and I'm sure that you'll be challenged about the second coming of the Messiah. And please listen, you'll get a great blessing and some great help for what the Bible has to say about the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ.
To it. You can't make him something he already is. That's right. Bless his name. If you remain standing, verse 1. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and have the commandments of us, the apostles of our Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? Since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. You can be seated. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the reading of your word. We trust that it will have free course and liberty. All will be done to be done for the glory of God. We'll praise you and magnify you for it. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. We come to this few moments to stay out there with me in the scripture. God, how you look at Peter's writing to the churches in the Asia Minor section. He's writing to those who do not believe in the literal return of Jesus Christ, both Jew and Gentile. And my problem with that is my Bible tells me he's a coming. The scripture has said that they would come in the last days declaring, where is the promise of his coming? It doeth good as God-fearing New Testament Christians to have some kind of a biblical idea and a current idea of global situations on the promise of our Lord coming. It is one thing to say it, it's another thing to believe it. Peter begins to be inspired by the Holy Ghost. I still believe the Bible is inspired by the Holy Ghost. He's letting them know that the promise of his coming is a reality in his heart and not just something that's been worked up by the Jewish apostles. Where is the promise of his coming? Our world today in the Baptist ranks and the religious world does not live as though he's coming. Our lives are filled with carnality and sin as though he is not coming in our lifetime. Very few people in our Baptist churches on the Lord's Day got up with aspects that morning that the Lord Jesus could return for them. You say, preacher, how you prove that? I'm a pastor. And when you pastor folks week in and week out and you know how they live and the reoccurring problems that they never seem to be able to get over, the sinful lives in which they live, the uncommitted lives that they live, unfaithfulness to the house of God, absolutely no holiness in their everyday walk of life. I'm going to tell you, there's no doubt about it, this world does not believe that Jesus Christ is coming again. The Gentiles don't believe it. The Jewish folk don't believe it. There ain't nobody believes it but just a small remnant that's got God living in their heart and they're obeying Him. I'm going to tell you what today, God the Holy Ghost will allow His children that live and walk in the fullness of God to know that He's a coming back. It's just around the corner. And if you're not ready, you ought to get ready. You say, preacher, I'm born again. That's wonderful and fine. But are you ready for the Lord to come? Where Yes, the promise of it's coming. I thank God today. He's a coming soon. Hallelujah to His name. Glory to God. Our Lord's a coming. It's not a figment of the imagination. It's not a fairy tale. It's a reality for the child of God. He's a coming, and it might be today. Bless His name. Here's the promise of His coming. I want to say first off, it's in His Word. The Old Testament prophet said there, we read it in verse 2. The Old Testament prophet said He's going to come one time as a baby. He's coming back next time as a king. Somebody said a while ago, one of them brethren did, that somebody didn't believe His prophet. I'm going to say this, He's not just prophet, He's priest and king. Everybody, everybody wants the Lord Jesus to be their king. But I'm going to tell you, He'll preach to you as a prophet before He ever intercedes for you as a priest. And He'll do all that before He's ever your king. That's right. You say, He's going to be my king when I get over on the other side. Oh, no. He'll not be your king over yonder in the glory world if He's not your prophet and your priest on this side. He's going to perform in you on the other side what He started on you on this side. And what He began in you on this side, He's going to make it perfect over yonder on the other side. How do I know He's coming back? Because the prophets said He is coming. And man, that's right. Zechariah said He's coming. Isaiah said He's coming. And man, that's right. Malachi said He's coming. Daniel said He is coming. The Old Testament prophets of God said He's coming. And that's what we need to tell this scoffing outfit. Yeah. Now watch me now. Scoffers scoff for a reason. They don't scoff just to be making noise. They scoff for a reason. They scoff and mock because they don't want to believe He is coming. See, if we're right and they're wrong, we're all right and they're going to be in a heap of trouble. So they ain't really wanting Him come back. But the promise of His coming, first off, I got a roll here, is the prophet said He's coming. And then the apostle said He's coming. Paul said He's coming, 1 Thessalonians 4, 1 Corinthians 15. Boy, it's all through that Word of God. Just about every three or four verses in the New Testament to deal with the Lord Jesus coming back. That's the Jew and that's the Gentile. They're looking for Him first time. We're looking for Him second time. And then the Lord Himself said He's coming. In my Father's house, many mansions, He goes on and says, if we're not so, I'd have told so. And He said, if I go away, I will come again. Why is the promise of His coming, ma'am? It's in the Old Testament prophets, the apostles, and the Lord Jesus Himself. And that's the Word of God. And if nobody else believes He's coming, that Bible said He was. Where is the promise of His coming? In the scoffing of the scoffers. Every time you hear the news or read the paper and somebody else has come out and said, don't listen to them right-wing fanatics. They don't know what they're talking about. They're Gnostic. They don't need to listen to them. They don't know what they're talking about. They just prove, hey, y'all young folks, look at me a minute. You ought to look up. Hey, you ought to take note. This outfit in this world today is saying what you believe in and what mom and daddies are trying to teach you about the Son of God. They're trying to tell you, and they are telling you that it's not real. Oh, but don't let the Holy Ghost, if He lives in you, verify in your heart that what the Word of God said and the faith that mom and daddy has is real, and it's real today. Where's the promise of His coming? Then you get over there in verse 9 and 15. We didn't read all that, but in 9 and 15 talks about the patience of our Lord and the long-suffering of our Lord. You better look up here just a minute. I'll be done. They're smoking this building right now this afternoon. I don't try to pull nothing out of nobody. Holy Ghost, He ever draws you as a sinner, He can take you the rest of the way in. Amen, that's right. Oh, but you better hear me. The only thing keeping you from an eternal hell is the good long suffering of Jesus Christ. Amen, that's right. Only thing that's keeping you from going to the eternal home of the damned is the good long suffering of the Lord God Almighty. Amen, that's That's right. I've got children that's not under the blood yet, never been born again yet. Oh, the only thing that's keeping them when they come to that age of accountability is the long suffering of our Lord. Where is the promise that is coming? Take a look around. You're already been in hell. You've already been, ought to been bathing yourself in the flames of damnation, a condemned sinner. But it's the good grace of God. Yes, the good long suffering of Jesus Christ that kept you here under this good hour. Where is the promise that is coming? In the latter verses, he tells us, verse 17, 18 of this chapter, to be steadfast. We're told in other scriptures to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. But you say, preacher, people don't believe our Bible. Should you ever have a doubt of the validity of your Bible? Somebody asked me a few years ago, and they said, Brother Gray, how is it you believe, this is an educated person, why is it you believe that Bible, I mean, everything that we do at our house, we try to do our best to surround it around the teachings of what thus saith the Lord. And I didn't say we got it all right, I just said we tried to. I ain't got as far along as some of y'all. Just bear with me. But I took her, this individual, and I said, I'll show you something. I said, way over here in Daniel, in chapter 9, you have a prophecy of the 70 weeks of Daniel. And then I said, if you'll notice that carefully, it talks about in the beginning, when the 70 weeks began. And I said, he talks about making the end of iniquity and when it all began. I said, if you'll go to Nehemiah chapter 2 and verse 1, you'll come to a man by the name of Artaxerxes. He's approximately 444, 445 B.C. He begins to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. Did you know what? I never saw this before. I got studying it out. Exactly 773,880 days later, to the very T and the jot and the tittle, there's somebody comes riding on the donkey into the streets of Jerusalem. It's about April the 14th, 32 A.D. Oh yeah! Holy Ghost, Moses, Holy Ghost gave Daniel the prophecy. Holy Ghost of God who inspired our Bible has got in Artaxerxes. Holy Ghost has got in this thing. And our Messiah, our Messiah and Savior came riding through right on time. Where is the promise of His coming? It's in the one. Thank God that inspired the Word of the living God. Bless His name. Hallelujah. Where is the promise of His coming? It's in the restored nation of Israel. All them hundreds of years, she was desolate. The ground was unfertilized. Wouldn't grow nothing. I mean, they give it up as nothing. I believe it was Napoleon said that it looked like it never had been inhabited before. Oh, it was absolutely nothing. But Jesus said in Matthew 24, verse 32, our Lord said, learn a parable of the fig tree. And then you'll read over in Hosea chapter 9, verse 10. He said, I saw your fathers, Israel, the Jew, as first ripe figs. There's your typology. And then you get over yonder in Ezekiel 37. Why in the world we leave off at verse 10? I've never been able to understand. Verse 11 absolutely gives you the definition and the interpretation of the whole chapter. They are the whole house of Israel. The dead bones are. Hey, they've been dead, dispersed all across the world. All those hundreds and hundreds of years, and the breath of God came in them. The old prophet stood there helpless when the Holy Ghost asked him, and he said, can these bones live? He looked around and said, if they depended on me, they ain't gonna live. But he said, Lord, Lord, thou knowest if they can live. Somewhere from up above, from another land, came the breath of God into those bones. And on May the 14th, 1948, she became a nation again. Bless His name. Is the promise of His coming and the reestablishment of the nation of Israel. Where's the promise of His coming? Well, I believe it'd be on Jerusalem being focused. I don't know if y'all know it or not, but the Battle of Armageddon, at the end of the tribulation hour, will basically be the instigation of who controls Jerusalem. It'll be fought over who really... Have y'all been watching the news lately? Huh? Jesus said, when you see armies compassing the city about, just surrounding them, said, lift up your head, for your redemption draweth nigh. Are y'all been looking? Y'all been listening of what the power... No child of God should be pro-Palestinian. Huh? No Bible-believing Christian should be for a Palestinian state. But I'll go on record saying this. Might get me in trouble, but I'll blurt it out anyway. I stay in trouble by half time anyhow. If it'll hasten the events, let her raise her flag. But they're fighting over the stage is being set. So what's the promise that is coming? Where's that preacher? And the strong delusions is being preached today and believed today in 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 1 through 11. The restrainer, I believe it was Brother Allen last night correctly said, I've been saying this down to church for a long time. The Holy Ghost seems to be withdrawing. Now, I know He'll never leave us nor forsake us. The seed will always remain in us that seals us to the day of redemption. I understand that. I think I got that nailed down pretty good. But I'm going to tell you this. The Spirit of God don't work. I got saved in 1982, 20 years ago. And I'm going to tell you something. The power of God was working much stronger 20 years ago than He is today. And the restraining factor of God, His hedge of protection, seems to be withdrawn little by little by little. What used to be behind closed doors is now distributed publicly. What used to be taboo is now being accepted in our society. Watch me now. Don't hang your head yet. Listen to me. And what used to be an abomination in the house of God is now accepted as the norm. Where is the promise of His coming? It is in the strong delusion. There's young people here now. There's young people sitting here now. And there's things you believe. You're believing lies. You're here, Mom and Daddy, because they made you come. You didn't have nowhere else to go. You're here now believing lies that this worldly system, the God of this world, is propagating on the television and in the media and in the news. He's propagating it and making it a lifestyle. And it's in your mind and heart now. And you're questioning what Mom and Daddy said. And you're questioning and debating on what the man of God said. And you have no use for the Bible, church, prayer, or holy living because of the strong delusions that's taking place in our world. Where is the promise of His coming? Jesus said, I come in my Father's name, and He said, you won't receive me. Speaking to His own people. But He said, there's one coming in His own name. And He said, Him you'll receive. Yeah. Where's the promise of His coming? I'm done in a minute. It's in the strong delusion. What about the seducing spirits? What's the promise of His coming? That in the latter days, there'll be seducing spirits and doctrines of the devil. Well, I quote 1 John 4:1, say, we're tried in spirits. But I wonder if we know how to try them. Somebody got up in our church a few months ago, spoke and praised in the Lord. Stood up, and I mean, they weren't talking in some gibberish or anything like that, but they stood up in sort of a little chant, and he didn't have the right ring to it. And I said, well, I'm going to put that thing to test. I hopped up and I said, I believe we'll sing Amazing Grace right now. She shut up, just like that. Huh? Had somebody in our church, they said, came to the altar and said, won't you and the men come on us before? We didn't know them before. Jumped up, hollered. Whoever that was talking earlier today about this wild, emotional stuff, he is right. Y'all better read 2 Corinthians 11 again. There's another gospel being preached in another spirit in our churches today in this apostate day. And it's so attractive, and the devil knows how to imitate so good that we're buying it. She jumped up off all of us and said, I got healed. Run around. 2 weeks later, called wanting to know if we'd have prayer with her, special prayer, so she'd get disability. I said, I thought you said you got healed. I never did read about Lazarus getting sick of that same thing again. That woman with the issue, For what does she still rejoice? Seducing spirits. What about these perilous times? Where's the promise of his coming? It's in these perilous times. Paul told Timothy about. But I got to show you this and I'm done. I want you to see this. Song of Solomon 2. Oh, I like it. Song of Solomon 2. I want you to look at this with me. I'm going to get out of the way. I know you're tired.
No, sir.
But they folk ain't ready to go. I've got a whole slew of them down yonder where I'm at. They ain't ready to go. The main thing, we just preach down there where I'm at. Try to worship a little bit. We don't have any kind of gimmicks or anything like that. We just praise and worship. We don't have very many visitors ever stay. The first thing they'll say is, what are y'all doing around here? I said, we just preach. And most folks join the church looking for a platform. And when you cut that platform out, they won't be back. Well, I didn't figure that'd go too good. But it's right. It's right. Where's the promise of his coming? I was listening to an old rabbi probably 7-8 years ago. And he used this scripture right here. He's looking for the Messiah the first time. You and I know. We're looking for him a second time. He's done come as a baby in Bethlehem, growed up and lived a sinless life, gave his life a ransom for us, and they're still looking. Them Jewish folk been blinded, you know, according to Romans 11. They've been blinded, and through that blindness we've been grafted in. It's already been said. We don't need to go through all that again, but they've been blinded because of that. We got in. It's our time now. Are you listening? Here in the Song of Solomon 2, he used this. Preacher, how you know he's coming? Look at it with me. Song of Solomon 2. Look there in verse number 8. It's the voice of my beloved. Now, some folks believe that this little old woman here is a type of the bride, the church. Some think that she's the Jewish remnant. And it really don't make any difference to me. But it's just good to study and know. It says this here. The voice of my beloved. Behold, he cometh leaping upon the mountains. Skipping upon the hills. Now, these mountains and hills are what keep us bound. These mountains and hills are what overwhelm us. But there ain't going to be no problem for him to get over. And then she said in verse 9, my beloved is like a roe or a young hart. Behold, he standeth behind our wall. He looketh forth at the window, showing himself through the lattice. Paul said that we now see through a glass darkly. But he said when we see him face to face, and I don't believe he thought it'd be too very long until he saw him face to face. And this is what they're saying here. We're looking kind of through a lattice now. We got sort of a silhouette view. We haven't really got the full view of him yet. Oh, she said, I kind of know what he looks like. It won't hurt y'all to think about him and what he looks like from time to time. Oh, if you'll do that, he'll get you to sing. And you just make something up as you go along and sing unto him, making melody in your heart as unto the Lord. Oh, thank God, it won't be long. Hey, I believe I can see him skipping over the hills and the mountains now, coming to get his beloved. It won't be long. Where is the promise of his coming? Notice what he's doing. Verse number 14. My beloved spake and said unto me, rise up, my love. That sounds like come up hither. That sounds like a trumpet blowing to me. Come up, my love, my fair one. Oh, we ain't much now. But when we get in his arms and embrace him, thank God we'll have a new body likened unto his. John said, I don't know exactly what it'll be like, but it'll be like his. For the first time, hallelujah, in my life, I'll be sinless, sinless, sinless. Hallelujah. We'll have to battle with the flesh. We'll have to battle with the mind. We'll have to battle with carnality. Oh, thank God. I'll be lacking unto him. Rise up, my fair one. Don't look like much now. Hang around. And come away. Somebody said, where are we going? Long way with him, don't matter. Sometimes I'll take my wife out. She said, where are we going? I said, does it really matter? As long as we together. Oh. For lo, verse 11, the winter is past. Oh, I'll be glad when the cold days end. Some of y'all preachers, have y'all had enough winter time? Have you had enough winter Sunday mornings to preach your guts out? Preach your heart out to work? The tears of weeping were no longer reserved in your body. I mean, they're done gone. You done give them all out. And you just get up, and every day it's winter. Every Sunday night it's winter. Every year it's winter. Winter year in and winter year out. I'm glad, thank God, the winter is about over. The sun's going to shine forever before long. Where is the promise of His coming? Winter's about gone. Rain is over and gone. Rain's the type of judgment here descending down. We should be glad when the curse of this old earth is lifted. The curse of this old body. Paul cried out in Romans 7 verse 24, "Oh wretched man that I am." Who shout now? He's come to y'all arrived. I ain't got there yet. Y'all bear with me. You wouldn't like me if you stayed around me very long. But it wouldn't matter to me. I'm already in the beloved. My table's off. My place already set at the table. You can hate me and despise me if you want to. I might not do everything the way you want me to. But oh, I'm accepted in the beloved. And that's all that matters to me. That's His holiness. The rain's going to quit. We'll be delivered from the body of this day.
God of Israel, there is no God like Thee in the heaven. There is no God like Thee in the earth, O Lord God of Israel.
If after hearing this broadcast, God Almighty has convicted your heart of sin, then repent, that is, be willing to confess and forsake your sinfulness and wicked way, while acknowledging your transgressions against the Holy God. With sorrow and a broken heart for being an unworthy sinner, deserving eternal judgment in hell fire, receive Christ, the Messiah's forgiveness, which was bought for you by His own blood, and call upon Him to be your only Lord, God, and Savior. If you've asked by faith, believing, then God has given you eternal life according to His Word. And now you should know for sure that your sins are forgiven and that you are gloriously saved and born again. Please write us and let us know of the good news about your salvation. Let us know if you are Jewish or from some other ethnic group. You have been listening to the Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast with Dr. K. Daniel Freed. The Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast is supported by freewill offerings. If you would like to help keep this program on the air, please send your freewill donation to the Hope of Israel Baptist broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia, 30127 USA. Once again, that's the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia 30127 USA. The Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast is responsible for sending out thousands of Bibles and biblical literature free of charge throughout the world. If you are a Jewish person and would like to receive a free Hebrew English New Covenant, also known as the New Testament, please request a copy. Other languages may also be available. We will also send you a free copy of our very popular booklet, Prophecy Unveiled. Again, if you are Jewish, please be encouraged to ask for this terrific booklet. This booklet is about Jewish prophecy. It has intrigued readers for thousands of years and is now at your fingertips. What do rabbis of old, historians, and religious commentators have to say about the subject? See for yourself and answer the age-old question, is prophecy unveiled? If you're not Jewish and desire to receive a Bible in English, please write to the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, Georgia 30127 USA. That's Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast, P.O. Box 911, Powder Springs, or POWDERSPRINGS, Georgia, or GA 30127 USA. You are invited to visit our website at hopeofisrael.net. Again, our website address is hopeofisrael.net or hopeofisrael.net. Please email or write us letting us know you're listening to our broadcast. This will be a great encouragement to us and will help us to know where the broadcast is being received around the world. Donations and King James Bibles are being accepted, enabling us to distribute Bibles and gospel literature worldwide. Please send only King James Bibles in good condition. This is Dr. K. Daniel Freed, wishing you God's richest blessings upon your life. And my earnest prayer is that you will be drawn closer to the Savior. Please remember to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Until our next broadcast, tune in again on this day at this same time for the Hope of Israel Baptist Broadcast.